Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, the most sublime mystery of our faith, that God is one, but also three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call this a mystery because it's something that we would never have known on our own if God hadn't revealed it himself. And it remains a mystery because it's something we will never fully understand, because its divine and infinite nature is so far beyond our limited human intelligence and experience. That doesn't mean it's irrational or imaginary, no more than brain surgery is irrational or imaginary, even though, you know, 99.9% of people don't understand brain surgery. It just means it's too big for our little brains to wrap around. But I also say it's sublime. It's a sublime mystery because it reveals something amazingly wonderful about God. That he is a personal communion of three persons, sharing one life and one love together. So that the heart of God's very being, who he truly is this eternal, total, complete, mutual self-gift between the three divine persons in love that is at the center of their absolute unity. And I say that it's the most sublime mystery because it is really the beginning of the meaning of all life and the end which all life is directed. That is, all life is directed to living in the love of God. The Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 telling us that we were created in the image of God. So that when Jesus comes and reveals that God is a trinity of persons, we come to understand that human beings are created in the image of this amazing Trinitarian love in order to share in it, both on earth by loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving each other, and then most completely sharing in it in heaven. What a glorious feast. Now this weekend we also celebrate Father's Day. It is great when the secular holiday of Father's Day falls on the Catholic holiday of Trinity Sunday, because the Trinity really is where Christians come to understand the true and profound meaning of fatherhood. Because in a certain sense the Trinity is a family. First, there is God the Father, from whom the Son is begotten, and from whom, with the Son, the Holy Spirit proceeds. And today we remember that the divine family relationship within God, and we see that we're created to live and love in the image of God, most fundamentally in human families, of father, mother, and children. Now, some might say there's a problem with that. Where's God the Mother? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Where's God the Mother? Well, first of all, we shouldn't limit our understanding of the fatherhood of God to the human confines of human sexuality, male and female. God is neither male nor female. So God's parenthood is revealed both in fatherhood and motherhood, but differently in each. So that God can say in Holy Scripture that he is, as he says, the God who gave you birth, and as he says in another place, as a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you. But the thing is, nowhere in Scripture does he identify himself as a mother. He never says, I am your mother. And no one in Scripture never ever calls him mother. He constantly identifies himself as father. That's the dynamic he gives us. Now, there are many reasons why he does this. Perhaps the most fundamental reason for calling himself by the masculine title is that he calls his people by the feminine title. He calls them bride or his wife. And so you have the mystery of the divine bridegroom and his bride. And at the core of that, it teaches us the depth and breadth and height of God's love for us, and reveals how he intensely loves us, how intensely we should love him back. like spouses, love each other. And it also teaches us the dignity and rich possibilities of the love of a husband and wife, a father and mother, as they share in and reflect a fundamental and unique way the love that is at the heart of the Trinity. Still another reason God reveals Himself as Father is that it shows us in a powerful and irrefutable way the essential importance and role of human fathers in human families. If God is a father, how can any family be all that it was created to be without its own human father? And how can human fathers think they're not important to their families, to their wives and their children? And how can families think that their fathers aren't important? And how can society deny the societal importance of fatherhood? And yet today, that's exactly what is happening. In America today, more than 34% of all babies are born to absentee fathers. 34%. And 43% of children today live in fatherless homes. But what would you expect when for 50 years so many forces in society, including the Marxist left, the radical feminists, the LGBTQ activists, have all tried to convince us that fathers are not really necessary to the family? All this in spite of the fact that statistics show the devastating effects of fatherless homes in society. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90%. As are 71% of pregnant teenagers. 63% of youth suicides. 71% of high school dropouts. And 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes. I was reading a very interesting article the other day that said the gun violence in our cities is not a problem of guns, it's a problem of fatherless homes. And it presented the facts very interestingly, and I think that it's probably correct. Fathers are absolutely important to their children and to their wives. The facts prove that, and the revelation of God the Father shows us why. It's because that's the way God made us, to share in the mystery of the life and love of the Trinitarian family by sharing in the mystery of the human family of father, mother, and children. Now, does this mean that a family can't survive or even flourish without a father or mother or children? Or does this demean the heroic single mothers who are trying their best to raise children on their own? Or does it mean that there's something wrong with children who don't have a father in their lives? No to all of that. Of course not. Absolutely not. But are we better off with only a mother and not a father? Are we better off with only a father and not a mother? You might as well say that we're better off with only one arm or two arms and no legs. Just because we can, you know, many people do get along with only one arm, but they'd rather have two. In the same way, every family is better off if it functions as God designed it to, with both a mother and a father. But not just any father. The fatherhood of God teaches us that fathers are meant to be good fathers to their families. Fatherhood is a dignity all its own, rooted in the dignity of God's fatherhood, but the Trinitarian mystery reveals that the dignity of fatherhood always exists in relation to the equal dignity of each member of the family. God the Son, Jesus, is equal to God the Father, even as Jesus is obedient to His Father. They're equal but different and have different roles, if you will. And so even as fathers and husbands lead their families, they must always respect the dignity and importance of each member of the family. at the core of this respect and the core of being a good father is the same thing that's at the core of the Trinitarian mystery itself. To be a true father, as God created you, is to love. And not to love as you feel like loving, but to love as God the Father loves. And how does God the Father love? Today was a beautiful day. You see the sun, maybe you went out and enjoyed yourself. And then on Monday you'll go back, many of you go back to jobs that you love or jobs that provide you a very nice living. You live in nice houses, especially in this area. You have good health or better health than most people. And you have your wives, your children, your families. God the Father gave you all that. That's the kind of father He is. But then also, look at every breath that you take. Every single beat of your heart. God also gives you that. He is always there at every moment caring for you. That's how a true father loves his children. He is always there, always giving everything he can for the good of his children. Now note I said, for the good of his children. We ask God for a lot of things all the time. A lot of which He doesn't give us. And He doesn't give us everything we ask for, not because He doesn't love us, but because He does love us and He knows that those things are either bad for us or that He's got something else better planned for us. Human fathers have to do the same thing. I hate to say this, kids, but dads, you should not give your children everything they want. But you should strive to give them everything they really need. And everything you can that is truly good for them. Is spoiling your children good for them? No. Is letting them do whatever they want good for them? No. Is never correcting them or disciplining good for them? No. As Scripture tells us, the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father disciplines the son He delights in. That's how God the Father loves. And that's the way human fathers should love. But we find the greatest way to understand the love of God the Father in the words of Jesus on the night before He died. He said, "The Father and I are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father." We see what God the Son does, and we see how God the Father loves. Because whoever has seen the Son has seen the Father. In other words, like Father, like Son. And so we see the love of a good Father in the way that Jesus loves. We see it as Jesus sacrifices everything on the cross out of love for His bride and His children. And we see that same love as He comes back to be with them in the resurrection and as He keeps His promise, "I will not leave you orphans. Behold, I am with you always." This is how a true father, a good father, loves. The dogma of the Most Holy Trinity is the most sublime mystery of our faith, that God is one but also three persons sharing one life and one love. In this time of great social upheaval and attempts to corrupt family life, and specifically the degradation of fatherhood and husbandhood, the great mystery of the Trinity reminds us and reveals to us the absolute importance of God, of fathers in God's plan for the family and for the human race. As we now enter more deeply into the mystery of the Holy Mass and are drawn more profoundly into the communion of life and love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us beg the Blessed Trinity to shower graces on the families of the world, especially on all fathers, and most especially on our fathers, living or dead. By the grace of this most blessed sacrament, may God the Father, through the sacrifice of God the Son, and working through the Holy Spirit, renew in each of us a profound respect for the twofold blessing we celebrate today, the sublime mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, and the great dignity and importance of family and fatherhood. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I'd like to remind you that a little rule that most people forget about, and apparently some priests don't know about. You know, in the Mass, we bow our heads at the name of Jesus, and we bow our heads at the name of Mary. We're also supposed to bow our heads when the Trinity is said together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, at the beginning of Mass, when you make the sign of the cross, and at the end of the Mass, when you receive the blessing, and any other time when they're mentioned in that sequence together.